You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thanks for being here and helping support what it is that we're doing here. And I'm not alone. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard.
And of course, that's me.
It is you.
Just
and
this guy.
We are once again together in the studio talking about all things paranormal, but specifically we're talking about the UFO phenomena again here in the studio. And this is a discussion point that we really enjoy, and there's so much to talk about. There's so much to discover and discuss, and there's a lot of things floating around in this community, Don, about UFOs, and you and I have shared a bunch of our ideas about it, but what really surprises me, I think, the most is the variety of beings that could be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's not... Like when you have ghosts, you have ghosts, you have a ghost. And 9 times out of 10, most of those are, or probably were, a living person. So you got like these human being ghosts. There's some other different types of spiritual beings that are out there as well. But they're ghosts. They behave like ghosts. They do what ghosts do. But allegedly, what is going on with this UFO extraterrestrial phenomena is not just one alien.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one race of alien.
Right.
Apparently, Don, it's a catalog of aliens.
A catalog
of it. Now, I don't know. What is your thoughts on that?
You know, I think, first of all, you know, I have to agree that, you know, the people who say that we're the only intelligent life in the universe is, I think that's absurd.
Right.
There's got to be, you know, out of the hundreds and millions and millions of stars and planets and everything out there, there's got to be something else. Something else had to have its own primordial sludge to pull itself out of. So first of all, saying that there's nothing out there baffles me.
Right.
But, you know, and then saying, oh, well, there's only one or there's only two, you know, there's only, you know, the grays and the reptilians or the draconians, whatever you want to call it, but that's it. That's all there is. No, there's gotta be many, many more. It's more mm-hmm. like Star Trek up there than, well, maybe Star Wars. Star Wars. More like Star Wars. You know, many, many different thousands and thousands of races out there. So there's got to be more than just what we hear about.
And that's a good point. You know, I mean, honestly, if you're going to say that just by the numbers, there's got to be more out there than just us.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's not only more out there than just us, there's more out there that are way beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
And so just by the law of averages, there would be several different types and kinds and mm-hmm. Beings and looks. And, you know, I imagine there's probably some out there that we wouldn't even recognize as potentially sentient.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt.
I mean, really, it could be, Could be like Ents from Tolkien, you know, right. These walking tree things for all we know.
Right.
So I guess you're right. It does stand to reason that there'd be a lot of different types just because space is so big.
Right.
And if they are so advanced that they're able to leap around, then they probably have, you know, a cooperation of sorts between most of them. Probably there's a few dicks out there, but you know, I mean, you know what I mean? That's like,
right.
For the most part, if they're that advanced, they're probably advanced, you know, on a, you know, I don't know, how do you say it? On a community level.
Right.
Not only technologically, but I suppose there are some out there that are technologically advanced. And as our friend Jim has shared with us, that there is allegedly some battles going on and
right.
turf wars and stuff as well. And that's it's a lot to get your head around, mm-hmm. but I guess it does stand to reason. So we're going to get into more sightings that people have had tonight and talk about those a little bit, but people are also, you know, not seeing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
There's not just flying saucers. There's not just balls of light. There's cigars. There's, you know, cubes. There's yep. different shapes
cubes. Going on,
you know, right?
Well, the Borgs just went through my head when you said that. But yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, because each, it's like, you know, our American cars are different than British cars or right. different than French cars, you know, and mm-hmm. some of them go fast and some of them go slow and some of them just can't stop, you know?
So right.
It's the rolls gnarly, rolls down one hill, gnarly up the next. So right. it stands to reason that even between these races, the different levels of advancement causes different types of, you know, craft to be yeah. seen, you know? So, yeah.
And especially when they're not flying by means of aerodynamic means, you know, I mean, they don't need lift
like
and
bumblebee.
Lift and, yeah, but I mean, they don't need to be worried about wind friction because
right.
they seem to be flying by means of fields and energy
right.
rather than lift and drag
field
and
field manipulation. Yeah. yeah, absolutely.
Rather than just our, you know, aerodynamics and thermodynamics. So they are propelling in a different manner. So they can build them probably however they want because yeah. each shape is going to fly just as well as the other right. because it's like they seem to exist in their own energetic field.
Right.
Which separates them from the energetic field of wherever they are. So they don't need to be worried about, right. you know, wind friction and drag and velocity right. and all that
well,
stuff.
Well, see, but you only have to worry about that when you're coming into the atmosphere of a planet.
Right.
So anything beyond that. So, you know, it would be feasible to believe, like we read in science fiction all the time, mm-hmm. you know, that there are atmospheric vehicles to get from, you know, the body of whatever planet that is, whether it be Earth or Mars or whatever, to break through the atmosphere into space. Mm-hmm. Those are going to look fundamentally different than, of course, you know, the space-built ones.
Sure.
Meaning, you know, we've got a platform that builds spaceships in space mm-hmm. that are never supposed to come down to the surface.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a huge difference in that as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I imagine that's the case. Like the old idea of the mothership.
Right.
And the aliens, you know, come off like Independence Day. You get these huge discs and right. they're all over the place and they're enormous. But then they go up and show you the mothership where these huge discs are like, they're going into this big yeah. thing. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. And so, you know, it stands to reason that people are seeing different things. If there are so many different races right. representing these technologies. And so we're going to get into some of those and I hope you enjoy the ride. Again, I've seen the flying saucer. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And I'm here to tell you it's a real phenomena. I don't expect anybody to change their mind or their paradigm based upon what I say.
Right. Yeah.
But all I can tell you is that, you know, it really happened. I know that these things are here. Again, you know, it's the discussion we've had several times. We don't know why, but we know they are. And perhaps, you know, judging by some different histories that we hear, perhaps they've been here a lot longer than we have.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into some of these stories and we'll see what you guys think. I hope you enjoy them all the same. So the first one I got here, and I hope I'm not repeating any from another show, but I think I'm not. It says, I was an air traffic controller in the Air Force, and one morning, I think it was 1972, and I was the crew chief on duty on a midnight shift along with one other controller. Well, it was daybreak and almost time for shift change, and when I look up and there's a metallic object crossing over the field. It's Randolph Air Force Base in Texas. And it was moving fast. I couldn't make out what it was, but I knew for sure it wasn't an aircraft. I called down to radar and asked if they had anything on the scope, and they replied, no. The only other person who was working with me was sleeping on the floor since it was a slow, no traffic at all. And all these years later, I still wonder what it was, but it raised the hair on the back of my neck while I was watching it. And I imagine it would, because you're an air traffic controller. You are a trained observer to recognize everything that should be in the sky. And then you see something that shouldn't be in the sky, you know? So it doesn't surprise me even a little. I guess his paradigm was shifted, huh, Don?
I would say so, you know. You know, it's, and that's another thing, though, is like, you know, because you see a blip on radar, it's a good bet that there's something up there. And it's a good bet you can call it a UFO, because that's what it is. It's unidentified. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I mean, it really takes a, you know, eyes on type of experience, I guess, mm-hmm. is what I want to say, to really shake me of the idea that they're visiting, you know. But that's not to say I don't believe it. I do believe they're here. They've been here at least.
Right, because you believe me, right, Don?
Well, of course I do. I never doubt you, Mr. Brent.
There you go. There you go.
Agent B. But, I mean, you know, I mean, it's one thing to see something on an electronic screen, mm-hmm. and it's something to have it fly over your head.
Right.
Something else, yeah.
And it's cool that something flew over and wasn't on the electronic screen.
Yeah.
So he knows he saw something with his eyes.
Yeah.
But it didn't register on our technology, which is maybe pretty disturbing, actually.
Yeah.
Because we rely on that. That's like, that's how we know when something's here that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And when there's things flying around that don't pop up on the blips.
It's concerning.
Yeah, that's got to be a bit concerning. It might,
especially
might
if there's a 757 coming in.
You know? Like, right.
What is that? I don't know. I can't see it on the screen.
It doesn't exist. It's in your imagination.
Swamp gas Venus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's several tons of swamp gas about to come down. So, but anyway, very cool story. Most of these are very short like this too, ladies and gentlemen. So, and they're not exhaustive. They're just little quips from people that claim to have witnessed this. Not me, but back in the 70s, my mom's sister was married to someone. Wow. Is this Ferris Bueller? My brother's sister's girlfriend's boyfriend's cousin.
Where do your mother's brother's sister's
go? Yeah. Someone, it says, was married to someone who claimed to not only have seen a UFO, but that he was taken aboard and probed, etc. I shouldn't laugh, but
he says etc.
Yeah, the story says etc. I'm not sure what else happened there, but apparently he wasn't wanting to talk about
it. Was there a pregnancy test involved?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, it's probably some kind of child support at work here. But he was a highway patrolman, and he said that this all happened in the middle of the night when he was on patrol. He was in his patrol car. Remember seeing the lights? And then he lost 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, my.
He was put under hypnosis and then remembered the rest. He is actually mentioned in some of the literature that has a video on YouTube, and his name is Herbert Schirmer. Schirmer, S-H-I-R-M-M-E-R. They are no longer married. Yeah, that could wreck your marriage, I guess.
Your probing wrecked my marriage.
That's what you know. That's kind of true. You start getting probed elsewhere, and marriages fall apart.
Oh no!
This whole show just went in the gutter, ladies and gentlemen.
The abduction of patrolman Herbert Schirmer.
Yeah. So apparently, that was my mother's sister. Mother's sister is married to someone who claimed. So I guess that would be this person's uncle.
Right.
Right. They could have just said my uncle.
Oh, poor Herbert was only 22 when it happened.
Yeah, that'd be it. That could wreck your whole existence. Man, that's got to be double tough.
Ashland, Nebraska, December 3rd, 1967.
That's when it happened?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Huh. All right. Here's another one. My grandfather, back in 1965, used to stare at the night sky looking for aliens. He always said it's just the dots that move weird, mm-hmm. and I could never see them. It says B he knew, I think it meant but he knew what he was looking for.
Yeah.
whenever he saw one, he would jump in his Bel Air and chase it down. Yeah, blazing down the country roads, he said he would always get close, but then his whole car would just stop. Just the whole thing turned off, and it wouldn't turn back on for a few minutes. And before you think it was just car problems, my whole family history is nothing but mechanics. Still, he said it was like nothing he'd ever seen before. That's a cute story. Very enthusiastic. What you gonna do, Grandpa? Oh, just go up and stare at the sky, see if I can see some UFOs.
Oh no! I was just thinking, Bel Air tearing through, you know, the
country roads,
down the country roads. I thought about, you know, early NASCAR.
Oh right, yeah, the booze runners.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I laugh. I laugh because it comes off as funny, but. There are a lot of stories that are like, you know, that is not funny. Just so don't get me wrong about when I laugh, but that was a good one.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We like to keep the show light because the subject matter is pretty heavy mostly, you know, and sometimes it is comical and you know, there's a lot of claims out there in the paranormal and some of them are just ridiculous, yes. But you know, it is what it is. All we do is just tell the stories that we see. And discuss them because, you know, this is what the show is. It's a discussion. I don't pretend to know for sure all of these things are real or none of them are. I know what I've seen is real. Mm-hmm. So I can only vouch for that personally. But, you know, there again, there's lots of really crazy ideas out there that, you know, sometimes they do inspire laughter. And it's not because I'm being dismissive of them, but it just hits me so sideways sometimes.
Well, yeah, it takes you by surprise. Yeah. Or the way they wrote it, you know, was noteworthy in a chuckle or a laugh, you know. But, you know, don't ever get us wrong. We do take these seriously. We just have a spot of fun with it.
We do, yeah. We like to have, there's plenty of shows out there that are doing this really creepy and eerily and stuff, and that's fine. But
oh my gosh, I was watching a show the other day about aliens and adrenochrome.
Oh no.
And it was not funny at all.
No.
So I'm like, that's disgusting.
That's twisted. But enough of that.
Yeah. Let's get back to the good stuff.
That'll kill the fun in a hurry. This one starts out weird. It says, I was out on my balcony at about 11 till 1 at night having a cigarette.
That's
what I was chuckling about. It's like,
wow,
how big was that cigarette? It took 2 hours to burn.
That wasn't a cigarette.
What kind of cigarette, maybe, is the better question.
Yes.
I don't remember the exact time. It was, it says 11 to 1 at night having a cigarette. I don't remember the exact time. Oh, so it just means in the span.
Sometime, yeah.
Sometime in that time span. Okay.
He's experiencing lost time.
Right. It was April of 2012, and I live in Las Vegas. But my balcony faces away from the lights and strip, and I was stargazing for a bit when I noticed something odd. Something was moving. A star I'd been looking at suddenly disappeared, as if something moved in front of it, and it was a boomerang-shaped object, about as big as a private plane, moving silently and smoothly.
Mm.
No noise at all, no lights. It wasn't pitch black either, almost a really dark purple-blue. The color of the night sky is, basically, and seemed like it was trying to blend in, and it was also very low, maybe only 100 or 150 feet up.
Wow.
Like, if you were riding on top and I yelled something to you, you could probably hear me that close. And I watched as it silently glided out of my view, and I looked online a few days later, and apparently only one other person saw it. Must have been stealthy flying that low in this big of a city, and only two people saw it.
Hmm.
Well, that's different. Now, I wonder if that's one of those TR-3Bs.
You know, I was going to say something about, you know, I think we really have to, you know, take it with a grain of salt when we talk about, you know, boomerang shapes and, you know, stealth bomber shapes and TR-3Bs. I think we really have to really be discerning when we talk about those because they are technically unidentified. However, I do not believe they're necessarily extraterrestrial.
Right.
I think in those cases, they are very terrestrial. And I think they are more of the stuff that's being turned out of, like, say, Area 51.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of, I think those kind of stories are stories of things that are coming out of places like that. I don't think they're extraterrestrial they're actually extraterrestrial, but maybe from extraterrestrial reverse engineered,
right? You
know, things like that.
Yeah,
I think that's very terrestrial.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd agree with that.
Odds still the same.
Well, I mean, it's really cool, and mm-hmm. to honest to God, if these things are here, I really do hope those stories are true, that we've gleaned something of benefit from that technology.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm concerned with the fact that if it does exist, we don't have access to it. But because I think it could really change the face of the world, it really mm-hmm. could, and it's an amazing possibility.
Right, right.
But at least at some point, these kind of things will filter down, and maybe we will be able to shoot through the stars and see the universe
right.
and experience the vastness of it and the possibilities that are out there. But I don't know. I really hope it's real, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I really do. But I don't know that it is or it isn't. I've just heard the claims.
And let's just hope that if it ever does, you know, we do have disclosure and things like that. You know, the aliens that are visiting us work under the precepts of, like, the Prime Directive. You
know? Well, that's true. Like, do no harm kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm not really looking forward to any overlords or anything like that.
The enslavement of the entire human race is not on the agenda.
Yeah. No, that's not on my bucket list. I know that. So, it's hard to know, but I guess that's a possibility depending on which one decides to spill the beans.
Now, in that story, they said it was like close, like 150 feet.
Right.
Did they say anything about noise?
No noise.
No noise whatsoever.
So,
huh?
None.
You know, Art Bell, his account of him and his wife at the time, he said that it was less than that. It was closer than that, like 50 feet. And he said there was no noise.
Wow.
No noise from it.
Yeah. Well, the one I saw, I didn't hear anything.
Right.
And it was a pretty still night. So it wasn't like there was wind in the trees causing a lot of racket.
Right.
It was deadly still and really weird.
Ominously deathly still.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad that's the only thing that was deadly still. Not me too, but, that was it. But the next one is, well, I was out on a Boy Scout camp out, Order of the Arrow, for you guys out there. I slept outside of the tent for the first night. It's just part of the camp out. And at 2:30 in the morning, I still couldn't fall asleep, and I just opened my eyes, and I saw these three lights open up in the sky, like a perfect equilateral triangle. Mm-hmm. They just seemed to shoot down and illuminate the entire forest. At this point, everything goes quiet, like the birds, bugs, deer, and coyotes all just shut up. Hmm. Wow, I just had an epiphany.
Oh.
I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
They move so slow across the sky, and I remember following them down to the pond edge. And I took a couple steps into the water, and then they just kept going. What? They move so slow across the sky, and I remember following them down to the pond edge. And I took a couple steps in the water, but they just kept on going before disappearing, and I couldn't believe it. And I told some people in the morning, and no one believed me. Funny thing is, none of the adult leaders, we weren't allowed to use cell phones, had phone reception in the morning, but that was fine after a few hours.
Right.
So it knocked out, well, maybe it was still in the area, though, too.
Maybe.
Now, here's what I thought was really bizarre about that, and this just struck me now. And this is my point about every story I read carries a little nugget.
Right.
So you remember me telling the story of how the dog up on Trout Creek was going crazy and I got called to come up there.
Right.
I got out of my car, called the dog. The dog was quiet right next to me, but the whole place was dead quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bugs were dead quiet. Mm. And that to me was just like, what the hell?
Right.
Why would crickets be quiet? You know, I mean, what's going on that they would know to shut up?
Right.
There wasn't a sound in any of the area I was in. Yeah. And now this person's saying they saw this. Now, that is the exact location of where I saw the saucer that I experienced.
Right.
So could they have been back?
You know, and I'm surprised you didn't clue into that before.
No, I've...
Really? Because I've often thought, you know, well, I wonder if it's related, and I thought, as in never, you know, voiced it,
right.
I wonder if it's related to your sighting, because, as you said, that's the house you were at when
right.
you had that
right.
that experience.
It was before they lived up there,
right.
So very interesting.
I can't believe you just thought about that.
Well, I've never heard about I don't ever recall hearing that even the bugs shut up.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it came up in this story. The person said everything got quiet.
Yeah.
Even the insects. And it's like, wait. I've been in that situation before, and that's the exact location that I saw the flying saucer.
Well, you know, it's when you're below them on the food chain, you know, you don't call predators yourself, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I would consider, until proven otherwise, I would consider extraterrestrials predators. Until proven otherwise.
They could be, at least they...
Well, let's use some common sense.
Right. Right. Know? Yeah, exactly. We don't know what they are.
Right. I mean,
we have no idea what they are.
Right.
Other than some anecdotal stories that are floating around of cooperation and stuff, but we don't know that those are true. I mean, we don't know anything. We just know... I just know they're there, and many people do.
Right.
But very strange. Very strange indeed. Let me look at our time here. We're about at the 24-minute mark. Do you suppose this is a...
Yeah, I'd say we'd probably break here and be back in a moment.
All right, guys, we got a lot more of these coming up on the other side, so don't go away. We're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back at it. We're back, and I hope you guys made it through that intense break. But for you guys, it's just like a click, bonk, and we're back. But for us, it seems to take forever, as far as you know. So
yeah, we stopped and had dinner.
Yeah, I just got done mowing the yard. I'm telling you, it's tough work.
It's hot in here.
Right. So another one I got here is I was 12 and watching High School High with my brother and my friend, and my parents had gone out and left us with my uncle, who was asleep upstairs. Good baby shitter. We paused the movie and gave my friend some money to go to the corner store about 2 minutes away because they had glass bottle Cokes. Those are the greatest Cokes ever. I'm a Coke connoisseur, ladies and gentlemen, and glass bottle Cokes are as good as it gets in this plane of existence, as far as I'm concerned. But about 20 minutes later, he hadn't shown up, and I wondered what took him so long, so I stepped outside to see if he was coming. And as soon as I did, probably about 50 or more feet directly above me, I saw the bottom of a spinning UFO. It had about 12 or so spinning lights, and I stood there in awe for about 10 seconds until I realized what the hell I was watching. At that point, I called my little brother out to see it, and he came running out and asked me what it was. And I said, I didn't know. And then the snap of a finger, and it just went up about 60 feet at the same height to my right over my apartment's parking lot. And I ran towards it barefoot because I didn't want to lose sight of it. And as soon as I got under the thing, the thing just zoomed straight over those apartments and ran in into the sky in another snap of the finger. And I will never forget that speed. It's what made it real for me. That UFO really changed the person I was. What happened to your friend? That's the end of the story. It's like, yeah, don't worry about Phil. Check this out.
And he was never seen again.
Yeah, he was never. He never did get those Cokes. There's no mention of the friend in there at all. It's like the friend was gone, and they just checked out a UFO.
And this is what I mean about sometimes it's the way these stories are written. You know, it's like, okay, we totally forgot that George ran down to the corner store. It only took him like 5.5 minutes. You know, but he could have, he probably was in the saucer.
Yeah, I mean,
there was anyone a Coke?
Yeah, he just supplied Cokes to an extraterrestrial race. Hey, let me have a pull on that. Okay. Yeah, you're coming with us, kid.
By the way, we're going for a ride.
Yeah, check this out. We got cold Cokes and we're going to cruise.
Poor George.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, there's no more mention of it at all. So far as we know, this kid is just gone.
Gone.
He's just evaporated. I live live in Southern California, and I often drink beer at night on my porch and stargaze. I suppose it's important to mention the beer, but I have on numerous occasions seen objects that are not satellites, planes, or shooting stars moving in bizarre patterns and emit immense light before quickly disappearing in the night. I know that many people don't believe in UFOs or any of that nonsense, and I really didn't either, but I know what I saw, and I know it wasn't of this earth. Mm. Wow. Well, I think I agree with you. What I saw wasn't of this earth either, but very cool. This one's next, and it says, when I was 5...
I thought you said 51.
I did too. I was like, that's a big space. No, it's two different sentences or two different thoughts. When I was 5, I saw 3 grays at dawn while camping in the backyard with my cousin. They froze me and I panicked mostly because I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. They looked at me for a few seconds and then left. When I was 19, I was camping in New Mexico near the school for deaf kids, and we heard the screaming. What? I'm sorry, but that does not make a whole lot of sense. It's near a school for deaf kids. Yeah. Okay. All right. So they weren't camping at a school for deaf kids.
They've never heard anyone.
I know. Yeah.
It's like, so it's probably why the aliens are there.
Yeah.
Not disturbing the locals. Yeah.
It's in really poor taste, but you got to understand that just looked weird. That really read weird. We heard the screaming, so we popped out of the tent to see a large glowing upside down lampshade thing in the middle of this 30 feet away. I drifted into the night and accelerated fast until it popped like a firework in the sky.
Huh.
That was it. Oh. It popped? Like it blew up?
How big was it?
It's the upside down lampshade thing, but I don't know how big it was.
Was it a Chinese lamp?
If it shot up really fast. Well. It sounds like a firework. I don't know.
That's what it sounds like to me.
I mean, UFOs generally don't blow up after they go up in the air. I think that's the definition of a firework, Don.
I do believe so. It shoots up in the air and goes,
okay.
And then lands on us.
And everybody, yeah, pieces land, yeah. Very strange. And this is like two sentences. I personally witnessed the Phoenix lights. Pretty crazy that something as noticeable as that was never explained. That's the whole account.
Wow.
It would have been nice to see or hear what their experience was.
Yeah.
What did they see? How did it look? But that's where a good interview is needed, Don.
Yes, absolutely.
So.
Well, like you saw the Phoenix lights. Great.
Crazy.
What happened?
It's like, you remember the old Saturday Night Live episodes with Chris Farley when he'd do interviews? He'd have like these big names on there, like, let's say Burt Reynolds. Hey, did you see that movie the other day? I went to this movie. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was cool. That's his whole interview. It's like he's just terrible at it. So I don't know what brought that up in my head. That's where I was at.
I think the awkward silence.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Next one. When I know, well, I know someone who was involved in this incident. Mm. Basically, a bunch of school kids all reported seeing a little man step out of a UFO, then transmitted images telepathically to them.
Hmm.
This all happened during their break. Anytime you mention it to her, she becomes anxious and asks if we could talk about something else. So I don't really know how authentic it is since she hates talking about it, but there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, we have. There's not a lot to dig into there, Don.
Wow. Well...
Here's
congratulations.
Here's your burger without the meat. There's nothing to go on that one. If that was, I'd love to know what were the images? What were they transmitted? What was the story about?
Well, it disturbed the girl so bad, she never really talked about it.
Right, but it sounds like it was more than just her. It was a group of them, right?
So why didn't you go ask the other friends?
Right.
Or the other people that were there.
Yeah, who else was there? Somebody's got to love to talk about it.
A good interviewer for that one, too.
Yep. We need a good interview to get on these stories. So I have no idea what this was. I was out in the cornfields of Des Moines, which they have a lot of them there. I can attest to that. Trying to get a photo of the Milky Way, and this red thing flew from south to north. Not a sound at all. It flickered as it moved, and was much slower than any meteor I've ever seen. I was able to swing my camera around and take a 20-second exposure.
Wow.
So, 20-second exposure.
Thanks for the explanation of what you saw.
Yeah, at least this one had some some substance to it, which is important.
Great. It's a red light.
Right. Let's see here. I was in Venice this in September of this year, which isn't this year, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, but it was when the story was written. I was riding a water bus at night, and I was looking out over the big lagoon, and I noticed a bright orange ball of light moving, and for whatever reason, I can't remember if it was descending or ascending. However, it was definitely moving vertically. It was moving fairly slow, and I couldn't tell exactly how far away it was. I watched it for a short while, maybe a few minutes, and I saw that a couple of others on the water bus noticed it as well, and apparently they didn't think much of it, though, since they stopped looking at it after a couple of minutes. Well, I kept watching it, though, and eventually it decelerated and stopped. It hovered in this position for a small while, and then disappeared in an instant. Still don't know what it was, and can't think of a reasonable explanation. I don't think it could have been an airplane. It seemed so bright, and since the boat was also moving, it appeared to be no more than half a mile away and was completely silent. Got it. Just got a message. It didn't appear to have any more mass other than what I could see of the very bright orange light. It was only the only UFO I have ever seen for which I can't think of an explanation. But the weird part is they don't know if it was going up or down.
Right.
It must have been traveling really so slowly they couldn't tell which direction. I don't know. I don't understand that part.
I don't either.
Yeah. Is your microphone working?
Yeah, I'm just not sitting next to it. Yeah. I'm kind of kicked back, kind of reading along by, over your shoulder.
Okay. So when I was a little girl, next one. Not me, but the storyteller.
Are you sure?
Yeah, so far I've never been a little girl that I'm aware of.
Cool.
In the 1960s and was tucked into bed at night, I would look up to see these very tall, very thin men with long necks and no facial features, just big dark eye circles standing in my doorway. They never said anything. They just looked lovingly at me and I was never frightened. Sometimes there would be two or three of, sometimes just one. And I always spoke to them and then I would fall asleep. And as I grew up, I forgot about them. And many years later, I was looking at a book by Whitley Strieber about aliens and what people who claimed to have seen aliens reported that they looked like. And my tall men looked just like all the pictures in the book.
Wow.
Well, that's cool. That's corroboration, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And at least they looked lovingly at her.
Yeah.
Not, fairly.
Yeah. Why were they tying bibs on their neck?
Why is there a crab around your neck?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's a picture of a crab.
Yeah, a bib with a crab on it. This doesn't look good.
Crack your bones to make my bread.
Yeah, he fee fi fo fum. But very strange.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sounds like the tall gray kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it says looked lovingly at them. And I don't ever recall anybody saying the tall grays.
Hybrid.
Oh, maybe hybrid. Yeah.
Hybrid.
Hybrid, big long H on that.
Hybrid.
Yeah. It's Brent, not bread.
I was thinking of sandwiches.
Yeah.
A Brent sandwich.
Yeah. Next one. I was on a plane from Bolivia to Peru, and everyone was sleeping, but I wasn't, and it was about 11 p.m., and the light from the wing of the plane was just at my window, and it was cool to look at. We covered this one from a different, on a different show. Maybe. I know we did. Then I noticed that there was no wing, and I looked forward, and the wing was like 10 feet from my seat. The light I was seeing was a whole different light. God, I think this was on a podcast we did. I mean, I'm serious.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we've talked about it.
Right, but none of these other ones were, right?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. And it said it kind of got freaked out and stared at this very vibrant light. And within seconds, this light went up until it was out of sight. Next day in the papers, UFO sitting in Peru near Lima. And 2 days after that, a small earthquake took place. I'm not making any of these up, I swear.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I was just listening to this very episode that we read. And that's the problem. You know,
it's deja vu.
Yeah. We've never covered this before, ladies and gentlemen. You're experiencing Mandela effect.
That's Vujade.
Vujade? Okay. That's interesting. Now I'm concerned that somehow I'm pulling the same resources, but these other stories don't sound familiar.
No, no.
So I'm glad we're not repeating the whole show. It's no fun to repeat the whole show, Don. That means no good.
No.
That means it's a wipe. But one story is okay, I hope. But I'm going to be looking at the rest of these now really carefully. I don't know. I'm just reading quickly through it so to see if this is one.
Well, here, you read through those, and I'll read this one.
Okay, please.
This one says, O'Hare International Airport saucer, 2006.
Ooh.
Flight 446 was getting ready to fly to North Carolina from Chicago O'Hare when United Airlines employees on the tarmac noticed a dark gray metallic craft hovering over gate C-17. That day, November 7, 2006, a total of 12 United employees and a few witnesses outside the airport spotted the saucer-shaped craft around 4:15. The witnesses say it hovered for about 5 minutes before shooting upward, where it broke a hole in the clouds, enough that pilots and mechanics could see through the blue, could see the blue sky. Sorry, my apologies. The news report became the most read story on the Chicago Tribune's website to that date and made international news. However, because the UFO had never been seen on radar, the FAA called it a weather phenomena and declined to investigate.
Yeah, that's creepy. And that was witnessed by a whole lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's O'Hare Airport, for God's sake.
Yeah,
it's one of the biggest, busiest airports in the United States.
Absolutely.
Apparently, it was witnessed by a ton of people, including some tower people, I think, saw it as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all, but it never showed up on the radar. So the FAA said, no, it's a weather phenomenon. Never mind that weather balloon.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I understand that people want to make sense of things. And I think part of the reason that our officials, if it's not just some kind of cover up, then what they're trying to do is to keep order.
Right.
So to keep order, you give a mundane explanation just to make it sound not fantastic, so people don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. People just dismiss it. Oh, it's just a weather thing. Jeez, you know. Back to your three dimensions and your 9 to 5. There's nothing to see here. Move along. And I think that that's what it's for, primarily, is just to, maintain order, because they're pretty concerned that these kind of things will cause upheaval in society. I think they do. I think that there is a belief in the higher echelons of, politics and government that, you know, the average people just can't handle this kind of information. But I would beg to differ, because obviously there are thousands of shows about this kind of information.
Right.
People want to talk about it. They want to know about it, and they want to understand it.
Right.
And
and that's the general theory about why there's no disclosure. We're just a bunch of panicky animals. We'll go into havoc, and it's just going to be chaos.
Right. I think that couldn't be further from the truth.
I think there would be a lot of, you know, like, I mean, let's look at, you know, hockey games. Your favorite hockey team just upset the team that, you know, has won for 15,000 years, and they just, you know, they just got beat, and your team did it. And you go outside and you flip cars and you know, light buildings on fire. I consider that a legitimate excuse for a little bit for just non-disclosure.
Well, there is that. And then there's the other side of it is, and I think some people would use it as, hey, the new bosses are here. Screw these guys. We're not listening to anything they said.
Right.
Because obviously these new guys have got to be in control. They can travel the stars.
Right.
You know, so there probably is that. That's probably true. But I think there are a lot of people that are okay with understanding that these things are here.
Right.
And I think an acknowledgement that these things are here officially, it's not maybe necessary, because the people that believe, but
yeah, I just had a thought.
Okay.
So did you ever watch the back in the day, there was that TV series called V?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe they're abducting all these cows trying to figure out how to make milk.
Was that on that show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or wait, was it V, or there was a,
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, V. No, there was another one. It wasn't V.
Okay.
It was probably in the last 10 years, but the aliens would drink soured milk and it would be like alcohol to them.
Oh, yeah, that was Alien Nation or something.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Gosh.
Where they were actually just a part of our society.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the cop's name was San Francisco.
Yeah.
Can you tell I really paid attention to it though? Those shows really turned me off.
And salt water was like acid to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which was bizarre. But anyway, very cool. Did you have another one you wanted to read? Or?
Sure.
By all means, knock yourself out there, Mr. Longbeard.
The small town of Stevensville, Texas, 100 miles southwest of Dallas, is mostly known for its dairy farms. But...
Wow, serendipity.
Exactly. But in the event evening of January 8th, 2008, dozens of its residents viewed something unique in the sky. Citizens reported seeing white lights above Highway 67, first a single horizontal arc and then a vertical parallel lines. Local pilot Steve Allen estimated that the strobe lights spanned about a mile long and a half mile wide, traveling at about 3,000 miles per hour. No sound was reported.
That's amazing.
Witnesses believe that the event is reminiscent of the Phoenix light sightings of 1997, while the United States Air Force revealed weeks later that the F-16s were flying in the Brownwood Military Operating Area just southwest of Stevensville. Many townspeople didn't buy that explanation, believing that what they saw was too technologically advanced for current human abilities.
Hmm.
You know, and that's something too, is, you know, we can only handle like up to 5Gs before we really start to pass out.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, you got to tighten your buttocks and your stomach and breathe and, you know, in and out.
Right.
You know, that's how you get past that particular thing. But sustained travel at over 5Gs is will kill you, you know? So, you know, I don't know why I brought that up, but.
Okay. Well, I mean, now we know, which is always important.
Oh, because of the too advanced for current human abilities. That's why I brought it up.
Okay.
So that's what brought it up. Yeah. But things moving that fast are scary.
Yeah. That is bizarre. Wow. Huh. Yeah. I was actually watching a video about that the other day, maybe a couple of weeks ago, of people doing that thing, yeah. You know, holding and pressing and squeezing and,
right.
You know, to get past that hurdle,
right,
of blackout. And then when people would go, they'd go like a noodle, just like,
yeah, they'd just be like,
all of a sudden their heads are just totally, yeah, ragdoll.
It's kind of scary to watch them. It's like, did they just die?
I know, it looks like somebody's dying. It's like, ooh, they think they killed that one. Nope, he's back.
Yeah, because as soon as it stops, they're like, what happened?
Yeah,
I was like, exactly. Oh, the oxygen came back. Hold on. Wow. The lights above New Jersey Turnpike, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot for motorists to stop alongside the highway to look towards the sky. But on July 14th, 2001, drivers on the New Jersey Turnpike did just that. For around 15 minutes, just after midnight, they marveled at the sight of strange orange and yellow lights in a V formation over Arthur Kill Waterway between Staten Island, New York, and is it Corret, New Jersey? Police Department Lieutenant Daniel Tarrant was one of the witnesses, as well as other metro area residents from the Throgs Neck Bridge on Long Island and Fort Lee, New Jersey, where the George Washington Bridge is. Air traffic controllers initially denied any airplanes, military jets, or space flights that could have caused the mysterious lights, but a group known as the New York Strange Phenomena Investigators claimed to have received FAA radar data that corroborated the UFO sightings from that night.
Wow.
So you have to have somebody on the inside to get those kind of, you know, that kind of data from the FAA. Mm-hmm. They're almost as bad as, well, any alphabet soup,
right,
you know, of getting information from because of these kinds of issues. So that's kind of, somebody's got some pull there.
Right, right.
Wow.
That's cool. That's very powerful. I got another one here. I'm sure I do.
All righty then.
It says, okay, let me read this one. My dad saw a cigar-shaped craft with red portholes flying over a cornfield when he was a teen in the mid-60s. He was taking a rural shortcut and saw it hovering, and he stopped in his truck to look at it and then it took off with what he describes as near instant acceleration. At that time, he believed it had to be aliens, since it was unlike anything he'd ever seen on Earth, but as he grew older, he became convinced it was an experimental Cold War aircraft. The notable thing is that he didn't follow UFO reports with any seriousness, so his report of a cigar-shaped craft, which has been consistent throughout his life, is interesting because that same shape of craft was at the time commonly reported. That's true. There did seem to be a period of time where people were really seeing cigar-shaped craft.
Right.
In fact, growing up, and in the probably the 70s, 80s, a neighbor lady who lived about a mile up the road, I grew up in a rural location, but right along the Mississippi, a lady that lived about a mile up the road or a mile and a half, she claimed to have seen one going right over the river, a cigar-shaped craft. And I thought that that was really interesting. At the time, I was young and didn't really know what to do with that kind of information. And so it just got kind of filed away in my memory. And I really didn't remember it until just now. It's like, oh, yeah, she saw one. So I don't know why people were seeing them very commonly. And then suddenly they're not anywhere to be seen.
Right.
You never hear a cigar-shaped craft anymore. At least if you do, it's very, very rare. But there was a period of time where, I don't know, maybe it's like their version of a tour bus. You know? It's like their Greyhound. Hey, come on, we're going to take a swing through Earth and have a look.
If you look out to the left, you'll see a rural area.
There's a group of Homo sapiens playing by the pool. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they can swim. Wow. I don't know. That's pretty bizarre.
That's funny.
It is. Yeah, exactly. first time I ever tried to write this down, first time telling anyone outside of the family. I'm leaving out time and location and some other details because I'm still scared of what might happen with it publicly, I guess.
Wow.
This one is already starting out familiar. So I'm going to skip this one. I am going to skip this one because I just can't take it. I don't want to be repeating information on our podcast. That would be like a ripoff for all of our listeners, you know?
Ooh, what's that one about Dugway?
Where?
Right there, number 31.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Says, I was on a wildfire, just south of Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah, and we were in fire rigs driving in the incident area, four trucks in close convoy, and we heard helicopters, eight black military choppers, escorted us in formation for like 10 miles. We assumed they were just doing drills and using us for fake target practice or something.
Great.
Yeah. A little while later, we were parked and about to start hiking to the fire line when suddenly a thin column of smoke shoots probably about 200 feet into the sky. It was a good mile away, but the concussion was pretty significant when it hit us, and the noise was still ridiculously loud. We thought it was probably no big deal. We knew we were near a strike zone. And a good 5 minutes later, an aircraft like nothing I have ever seen flew by us at maybe 500 feet.
Wow.
It was flat black and sort of rectangular. There's the TR-3B, right?
No. You said rectangular, not triangular.
Oh, I did, didn't I? Yeah. But with fins and wells on the underside.
Yeah.
It says wells, so like wheel wells?
That's what I thought, but I can imagine it.
Okay, so it was moving pretty slow and was dead silent, so I have to assume it was some sort of stealth glider. It sounds ridiculous, but it immediately reminded me of a huge flying Batmobile, Tim Burton era. And after some military personnel got on our radio frequency and instructed us to leave that area immediately, and when our crew chief asked who it was and why they signed off with the incident, and the incident commander, the guy in charge of managing the entire situation, came on the radio and said we were evacuating the area. They sent us to a completely different fire about 100 miles to the south and never told us why, except that it was a higher priority, which was BS. It was already out when we got there, and we just assisted crews in the mop-up operation. The thing that confuses me about this is that if the Army didn't want us to see that stuff, or if it was dangerous, why didn't they keep us clear of the area in the first place? Either a communications breakdown or they had a no kidding situation going down and had to get us out of there without warning. I had to figure out how to rephrase the cussing. Right. So
no, I think he's right. I think they had an oh crap moment.
Yeah.
Like say like one of their experimental aircraft went down and they don't want nobody to see it.
Yeah, that
and
could
so
be.
So they evacuated them out. You know, but it makes sense that they would be escorted by black helicopters, especially near Dugway, you know.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me. And then to be able to deny anything they may see. But when they said a flame shot up, what, 100 feet or?
200 feet.
200 think, feet, yeah. So I think, I wonder if some experimental aircraft went down and they had to get them out of there quick.
Yeah, maybe. So. Maybe there was some kind of leakage going on from whatever nuclear power source they were using. Yeah, before it nuked.
Wow.
That's crazy, huh?
Wow. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I think that's going to about do it, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've enjoyed this journey through the portal with us tonight. We hope you'll continue to tune in and check out our podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And keep subscribing.
Yeah.
And if you have ideas yep. or for a show you'd like to hear, please let us know. Or if you have an encounter of your own that you'd like to share, please email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Check us out on YouTube to see the live streams. We are live on YouTube every day of the week, Monday through Monday. Monday through Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you can check out our back catalog there. If you want to see Don and I doing the magic it is that we do, you can find us there on YouTube. So
absolutely.
Don, anything in closing?
Nope. Thank you very much. Once again, we do appreciate your listening to us. And yeah, please, if you have any experiences of any type, ghost apparitions, UFOs, aliens, Bigfoot, cryptids of all types, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. So thank you guys. We love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out, find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. And we will see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.